Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And we were off last week because Ken was serving our country in jury duty. So thank you so much for
I could have made it. You didn't say anything.
I wanted to say thank you for helping us.
That prosecutor did not make his case, by the way.
I just wanted
I was not going to let any NSAC type of shenanigans happen in my courtroom. And that man got to go home to his family that night because they did not prove their case.
I appreciate that. And as a rule of law citizen, I just want to know that we appreciate what you do for us.
A little heads up, by the way. I feel like the prosecutor thought I would be on his side. But if you're a prosecutor and I'm ever on your jury, that threshold's going to be real high. It's going to be real high.
And those of you who have listened to the show for a long time know that, like, you have to prove stuff to Ken Evans. Like, he is not a guy. He does not take you on your word at all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to prove it. Or
if it's me and 11 60-year-old biddies that got nothing else to do that day,
you are in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
You've got a single man episode of 12 Angry Men is what you have right there. All right. So
let's lay our rulings on UFC happenings.
We do have some UFC happenings. We do have a card this weekend. We will talk to Tony Ferguson, who will be taking on Rafael Dos Anjos in the main event of UFC. Mexico City, the tough Latin America finale. I know that you're a huge fan and watched every episode.
Oh, yeah. I tune in on something Deportes, and then
it's on Fight Pass.
I put it through Google Translate, and I watch them.
All that stuff. But we will start with Michael Bisping, because a lot of people were bummed out about Michael Bisping responding to Jacare. Now, a lot of stuff happened last week, including Luke Rockhold being injured and off of the Jacare Souza part two.
Which is exactly how this show goes. We spent a lot of time, actually had a decent amount of research, and tried to figure out that division. And that matchup was obviously key to then figuring out and laying out matchups, which we spent the prior episode doing. So, of course, 3 days later, owies take over the scene.
So he's out, which leaves a giant hole in that event. So there was people who were thinking, okay, well, what can we put there? Should it be Michael Bisping? Because Michael Bisping has been running his mouth about GSP, and Jacare's manager was running around saying that Bisping is ducking him. This is the official announcement from Michael Bisping, and I feel in the Ken Evans universe, this makes sense to you.
Okay.
And
does that not mean it makes sense to you?
No. I think it makes sense, but I think you would be the harder one to convince in this regard. And he said that, look, guys, I broke my orbital again in the Dan Henderson fight. I injured my knee, but I was going to take the GSP fight because it's $4 million.
Yes.
And if I fight Jacare, it's like $250,000. And I'm not willing to do that injured. That just doesn't make any sense for me. So I'm not ducking him. Ken Evans and Eric Hultgren are still trying to make sense of that weight class without Luke Rockhold in the mix anyway. So it's not as if Jacare would be the guy necessarily that I would fight. So I'm not ducking him. I'm just going to heal my body because I need to.
Yeah, I don't blame fighters for taking fights for different reasons. And if you're going to fight hurt, you want to make sure those are good reasons. And I don't necessarily say anybody should get in the cage if they don't feel like they're 100%. I was the first guy in when Dana White was making very flippant remarks, speaking of GSP, back when GSP said he's done fighting. No, he's going to be back. He's going to defend that title. I don't think so, man. I didn't think so then, and I'm surprised we're even getting there now. But I'm the first guy to tell you, if you've got an injured fighter, and especially if you've got a little bit of championship privilege, I think, Eric, if you're the champ.
Of course you do. And I, even if you didn't, if you've learned anything from Conor McGregor, and I mean anything, is that you have to exercise your power where the power works. And if you're a very special individual in a Conor McGregor, sometimes it always tends to work in your favor. Meaning, most other fighters, they miss a presser and they get kicked off UFC 200. The rest of the year probably doesn't work out too well for them.
Yeah, and he's had two fights and made $30 million.
Correct. So
approximately.
All of these guys are trying to figure out that secret sauce. And Michael Bisping, guys, he's done what he needed to do. And whether or not you're still on this bandwagon where you think Dan Henderson won that fight, it is what it is. He won the fight. He's injured.
He not only won that fight, he beat Anderson Silva prior to that. And obviously he won the championship. Oh, in between beating Anderson Silva and Dan Henderson.
Correct. So he deserves a rest at this point if he wants it. And if he's injured and you're not going to give him $4 million to fight Jacare, which you shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, especially on that card, because you've got the main event of that card. Not to get too deep into what will this card be and what's going to happen.
I mean, this would, guys, like, let's frame this. We're talking about UFC Fight Night 101 is what people thought he was going to replace Luke Rockhold on. So you're not making $4 million on a fight night fighting Jacare.
Right. Well, some people are forgetting. They're thinking for some reason that then Jacare would have jumped over to what was attached to 206. Right. So, I mean, that's the thing that people are kind of talking about. Even then, if that were on that card, UFC, maybe they'll give him that money. I'm sorry, they're not going to give him that money with Jacare. I keep wanting to say Rockhold for some reason. They're not going to give him that money for Jacare. Plus, they've already got a headline match on that card, and that's Cormier and Johnson. Now, the UFC would love to put GSP on that card in Toronto, in Canada.
Sure.
Put that on pay-per-view. But again, guys, okay, let's do the math here. We're 4 weeks out, essentially, from that card now.
Right.
As of the taping of this program, we are just over 4 weeks out. That's a December 10th card. We're not talking about 207. We're not talking about 208. Now, if we were in a situation where, okay, Michael Bisping, you're defending at 208 against GSP or whatever's happening, and then GSP has to pull out. Well, you still have to defend the title. We're still 2.5 months, 3 months away. Here's your new contender. If you want to get on him at that point because the paycheck's going to change and then he wants to duck out, I don't necessarily think I'd argue too much with you. But that is not the case. You're asking him to come into a fight that's not even planned. You're asking, let's remember, the GSP fight wasn't in stone, by the way. So he's taking all of these factors into consideration when he's thinking about taking a GSP fight in December. He's taking all of these things into consideration at that point. When GSP's out of the mix, you take everything out of consideration, and you really can't be mad at the dude. I mean, we're at 205 coming up here, next weekend?
Next weekend.
So, I mean, he just fought the last pay-per-view Michael Bisping did. So, I mean, if you're angry at the guy that fought the last pay-per-view because he doesn't want to fight at the next one, I think we really need to reevaluate how often we're expecting some of these champs to fight. And I'm a guy that's advocated, hey, if you're in a division that's not that popular, not that big, you need to be out there as a workhorse, I want to see you every 3 months. If you're in a more popular division, I'll give you 4 or 5, 6 at the most. That's where I land inside this championship realm of title defenses. So I think I'm pretty aggressive there, saying, hey, if you're in a division that's not that popular, and maybe you could make that case because that Bisping's been in a division that's kind of the title's bounced around since Weidman's lost it, maybe you could make a 3-month case. I don't think you can make a case for a fighter having to fight basically 2 months. On short notice. It would be a couple months after, but it would be on very short notice.
And with a broken orbital. Mm-hmm. Now, let's remember he's had problems since that Belfort fight with his eyes and a knee
especially
injury.
Especially against Jacare. I mean, come on.
And like, look.
He's going to squeeze. If he gets a hold of your head, he's going to try to squeeze it until he breaks the other orbital.
And Jacare is not a guy you want to take on short notice when the money's not there. And so
you don't want to take on GSP on short notice, but that could be a life-changing fight for a guy like Michael Bisping.
If you're going to make $4 million and you can make a go of it, I would take the fight.
Yes.
Right? Because if we're talking Bisping and GSP, to your point, Ken, and you've been saying this for a month and a half at this point, that window's closing. Mm-hmm. It's not as if you're going to get GSP for sure next year.
Well, here's the other thing that you talk about in consideration of a GSP-Bisping fight, and you take it on short notice, and you're hurt, and this and that and the other thing. You take the GSP fight, he beats you for the belt, and you just made $4 million, right?
Sure.
Guess what? You're going to make another 4 or 5 in the rematch.
Yep.
Because you went in hurt. You fought 2 months out of your last fight. You did this, that, and the other thing. And he's one of the biggest stars in fighting from the mid to late 2000s that's now back in the cage and is now the title holder. And boom, there's your matchup. Because guess what? GSP holding that belt, if he beats you for your belt, and maybe I'm overthinking this, and I know it's not in a fighter's mind that they're ever going to lose, but certainly in somebody's manager's mind has to be, well, man, take this fight, make your $4 million, you lose it, you got a rematch. They don't have a better story at this division than a rematch between you and GSP. Just don't go in there and get your head knocked off by the dude, and you're good. And that's never been GSP style anyway. So, I mean, if you want to take into consideration thinking about how the fight would go, how you could do in the fight. Of course, a fighter goes in thinking he's going to win. His manager, though, wants to think of a couple scenarios. I don't see a lot of scenarios where GSP coming back from his giant layoff, coming into a championship fight, would knock out Michael Bisping, which would really be the only thing that would preclude Michael Bisping not only from fighting him, obviously, the first time for the $4 million, but for rematching him if somehow he loses. So there's a lot of win-win-win-win-win scenarios that you write down if you write down a GSP fight and you're Michael Bisping and you're putting it up on the whiteboard in the gym and you write down Jacare. You don't have nearly as many check marks in that win column there, Eric.
No, you do not. And he, you know, lots of people who are on our Facebook page and listen to the show are like myself who think that Jacare, much like Wonderboy Thompson, is a guy that you just don't want to take lightly or on short notice for a litany of reasons. But the money alone, guys, Cowboy Cerrone this week talking about a fighters union. You're continually hearing about fighters pay and fighters union protecting the fighters. And if this guy is injured, you can't in good conscience make him take a fight on short notice against Jacare to save a card, because he's A, he's done it a million times for you already, mm-hmm. and B, the guy deserves a break at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a situation where I'm not mad about it. I give the guy a lot of credit, too. He went right on UFC Fight Night. I think it was the Dos Anjos Ferguson pre-show thing that they did. You know, Michael Bisping went right out there and said, hey, this is why I didn't take the fight. I'm going to explain to you guys. There's a lot of fighters that would tweet and delete John Jones. There's a lot of fighters who would just say something on Facebook or have their management team release something. And Michael Bisping had no qualms going on the show, going on FS1 and telling us this. Quote, he said, next week, Yoel and Chris Weidman are fighting. Whoever wins that, either that guy or Jacare, will be my next fight. Make no mistake, but I'm not doing it in a few weeks. My name isn't Short Camp Sally. It's Michael the Count Bisping, UFC middleweight champion of the world. You will get it, Jacare, and you will get it, Yoel, Weidman, Rockhold, all of you, make no mistake. So he basically went on the show, says, not only am I not ducking this guy, I will fight all of these guys in a row as they sort out the division. I'm just not going to do it in a couple weeks. I really can't blame the guy for that. Of course, we're all a little upset. I mean, you still think that UFC 206 is one of the worst cards in history. Right?
I just think when you look at this year, 206 needed something to help it. And Max Holloway is not the guy that's going to help it. And we continually...
Are you to judge Max Holloway? Who are you to judge Al Dandy, as Bret Hart would say?
I am an astute fan who feels that this is not worth my $60. And as somebody who has spent a lot of $60 this year, I feel that this could have used some help.
Could this use El Dandy?
It could use El Dandy, for sure.
I always get really nervous, though, making old references to wrestling, because those guys could be dead. So I'm going to look up and see if El Dandy's alive.
Please do that.
Need to find out if I need to apologize to his family
after
the show.
Not necessarily in action news, John Jones went in front of the commission on Halloween.
He's alive!
He is alive. Ooh. Oh, El Dandy is alive.
El Dandy's alive.
El Dandy and John Jones.
No, I don't care about John Jones. El Dandy, though, is alive. So that reference is fine to make and not disrespectful.
Got it.
Por favor.
He went in front of the commission. They
sorry, folks. I'm going to let Eric reset because I just screwed him all
the
up.
The meeting took nearly 10 hours with no decision.
Oh, boy.
Now,
is this pre or post weightlifting tweet that he said, go ahead and make your steroid jokes?
Right. Which is like,
was that post? I think that was after that.
That was after that.
Not the tweet. I think he tweeted, then he went to the hearing, which seems stupid. Like, hey, dude, don't make steroid jokes. Come on. We'll do it for you. Trust me. You don't need to ask for it in this case. This is interesting because I remember seeing the summary from this where I guess his team said that they were happy with how things went, but we're still not hearing anything. And if you're happy with how it went, what exactly is going on? Do they feel like the punishment's going to be less? Do they feel like this whole thing about supplements is a real thing? I can't lie to the audience. I can't lie to you, Eric. I'm having a lot of trouble getting myself interested in this because, and I know it's very important if he comes back to the division and figure things out, but you know, dude, you looked rusty against OSP.
Sure.
You look worse after OSP ends up losing. You know, we all saw how Daniel Cormier manned up took the fight that he could take that night and how pissed he was. I mean, I'm really having a lot of trouble even finding motivation to even dig into this John Jones stuff. Essentially, you're going to have to do the same thing that happened with Ronda. I don't care until you tell me she's fighting. And I'm not saying I don't care. I'm interested in what you have to say here, but come on.
And, you know, we don't need to, because we don't have a decision, there's not much to talk about. The only thing I will pull out of this that I found very interesting is his attorney said, we felt that it went well. But while he was on the Luke Thomas show on Sirius, he also said, we then sent essentially the same pills we had tested by the USADA lab, which found the same thing. So the two substances that he would popped for.
Yeah.
And said pretty much every time this product has been tested, it's shown that it's contaminated with clomipramine and lestrazol. Mm-hmm. So to go back a couple of weeks to what we were talking about, where ultimately the fighter is responsible, if you continually test this product and it's continually contaminated, is that really anybody's fault other than you and your camp?
Well, here's the other thing, too. And I feel terrible if he got a tainted supplement and he took the supplement and that's what tested. But the ultimate responsibility being on the fighter and his team, however you want to say it, which ultimately ends up being on the fighter, is there for a reason. And one of those reasons could simply be, hey, man, this supplement's tainted. A guy with John Jones means could have every supplement he wants to take tested. And I'm not saying he should have to, but what you could certainly do is have supplements tested to a point where you find out, hey, I can use this to mask using this because I'm using this. Oh, and you know, if we get popped, tell them it was the supplement. And I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theory guy, but the rules are there for that reason. Noncompliance is noncompliance, and it sucks, dude. It sucks, dude, if you popped and you didn't take something and it was this tainted supplement. But ultimately, it's up to you and your camp to figure these things out. And who was it you told me last time we did this show? Somebody said, stop with the supplements. If you can't trust him,
that was the commission going like, look, guys, this is the ruling. And the only way that you can be 100% sure is if, I don't know, eat chicken.
Right.
Try that.
Go peel the chicken, eat your tofu, do whatever you need to get your lean protein and stop taking big, giant vats. You walk in these stores.
Uh-huh.
You walk in these stores. Does it look like anything? Like, I wouldn't walk in that store and take anything out of that store and not expect to pee a hole through my toilet. I really wouldn't.
Well, and if you've ever listened to Luke Thomas's show on Sirius, he talks a lot about this, about how the FDA has done a terrible job. And I'm only going to pick on GNC because it's a name that everybody knows. I'm not pointing out GNC as the problem.
I actually have no problem, too. If you want to do that and do all these things, great. But don't walk in that store and expect to not pee hot.
What he was saying is these supplements are not regulated. So it's not, nobody knows what you're taking. So even if you and I went into a GNC or Ken's Nutrition or whatever and picked up the same product, and we both went home, that product could have different stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
The same product that we took at the same time from the same store could have different stuff in it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is...
And if you know that, if I know that, non-professional athlete who does a podcast about mixed martial arts, Ken Evans, professional broadcaster, knows that. Not professional athlete. Why on earth are you taking any of this stuff?
And I get it. They're world-class athletes. They're looking for that edge, but it's just, I want to ask John Jones today, was that edge that you think you got from whatever you took worth it at this point? Missing 200, being out of the cage again after coming off a terrible fight against OSP that you squeaked by. Was it worth it? And these sentences, these punishments, these things that the commissions lay out and the UFC and USADA and WADA lay out, they all are here not necessarily to provide justice, quote unquote. They're here to lay out the landscape. This is the landscape. This isn't necessarily justice, ladies and gentlemen. This is the landscape we work within, and then you make your decision. And the decision goes, was it worth it, John Jones? You take this supplement. It was, quote unquote, tainted. I'm sorry that happened to you, but our policy is this: 2 years, 6 months, whatever we're hearing.
Sure.
There might be a gray area now, which we still are still waiting for qualification on that to see if that's actually true.
And I would say this, given our history with this organization, that the longer this takes, the less awesome it's going to be for John Jones.
Oh, that's exactly what we've been talking about, because this has been a situation where The longer he's out, the worse it is. And again, I don't even fault, by the way, I just want to finish up that thought a bit. I don't even fault the fact that these punishments are setting a landscape that isn't necessarily, quote unquote, justice. But they're at least setting up an expectation level. I mean, this kind of goes back to where I kind of got pissed at refs when they would get mad at guys. And Sean Desai, when he'd be on the show, he'd get really mad at me. He goes, we tell him backstage, why is it the rule that you can put your hand down and have a guy stop kneeing you in the head then? Just don't make it the rule.
Sure.
Just don't make it the rule. It's not about, do I think it's a crappy move from some fighters to just be able to drop that arm down and not get kicked in the head because they're in trouble? Yeah. But you know what? It's the rule. That's what we work with. And this is the rule. This is what we work with. If you have something in your body and you test positive, you're out. That's the rule. That's what we have to work with. You know me. I'm a big guy about expectations. I want to know what the expectations are. I want to know what I can and can't do, and then I will work within those parameters and find my best way to do that. That's essentially what these punishments are doing. Here's your parameters. You work within this the best way you decide, and then you deal with the consequences.
Absolutely. And then the other big news before we talk a little bit about the fights this weekend, and we'll talk to Tony Ferguson here in a second, Ronda Rousey on Ellen this week saying that this fight against Amanda Nunes was going to be one of her last.
See, and you had me really interested again. Had me really interested. That doesn't mean anything at this point. We don't know. That could be three or four fights.
Right?
That could be until she loses. That could be until Cyborg makes weight. I don't know what that is. I will tell you, gut reaction was like, oh, Jesus, are we doing this again, Ronda? Are we doing this again? And then, you know, WWE, give them credit. They're right out with a press release. We'd love to have Ronda after her UFC career is done.
McMahon doing the car wash this week, going like, we would love to have her and, you know, set the bar for women in athletics and all the stuff that you would want somebody to say who's like, yeah, if you're done fighting, we'll put you on the Brock Lesnar schedule. And
there you go.
Whatever you need.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens when she faces Amanda Nunes, but I don't know how to read into that, and we won't spend a whole bunch of time talking about this, but I don't know how to read into that other than to go to your point. Are we doing this right now, and are you just saying this so that if something happens and you're not successful in your fight against Amanda...
Oh, I told you this was going to be one of my last fights.
I told you this was going to be one of my last fights, and this was clearly... She's never said this in the ring, so I'm going to a little supposition here. Like, this is God's way of saying that my career needs to move in a different direction, and...
Oh, is she going to pull? She's not going to pull that, is she?
She's never done that. I was just saying a way that she could explain it, but she's never done that, so I don't know that she will.
Interesting. So I don't know. I don't have any problem with any of this press at this point. I'm becoming more, if that's possible, I feel like I'm becoming more jaded to a lot of this stuff, too. See, and like that kind of thing, like I'm like, oh. And then yesterday I'm like all in on like the Tito Ortiz and Chael Sonnen presser, you know. Chael Sonnen, you know, making fun of Tito Ortiz's head. That's exactly why Bellator signed this fight. But the other stuff, you know, when it comes down to titles, I think it comes down to the fact that I do respect the titles. I think they're very important, and I don't necessarily need a lot of hype, but I do tell people over and over again, a lot of people do, and a lot of people need this, and this to buy a title fight in the UFC. I'm in, Ronda. You're fighting for the title. That's
sure.
Very, very cool. You came back. You're going right in the cage. That's awesome. So, you know, if she says she wants to retire after a couple fights, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to necessarily lay a lot of blame there either. I think one of the problems with Ronda's gap in fighting, it caused a lot of folks that weren't necessarily against Ronda or had a strong opinion about her to maybe think a little more unfavorably. And that is now playing into these last couple of fights comment. If you go back to before she lost the title, there were very similar comments.
Sure.
I don't know how much longer I'm fighting. Maybe another year. Maybe this. Maybe that. That's been her for her past couple of fights. Every time we go into a presser and every time we assume that she was going to beat somebody in 30 seconds up until she met Holly Holm.
But I think the fact that leading into all of those previous comments, she's in a leadership position. You know, she's going to leave on top. She's setting an example. And then when you lose to Holly Holm and you ghost your audience... Your audience that looked up to you, your audience that thought you were, you know, a high benchmark to live up to for women in athletics, and you put it all out there and all that stuff, showing and or teaching that audience that when you lose, the move
is
to go hide
Ronda Rousey on Ellen yesterday, saying
be shameful about
left.
It,
which is kind of what she did.
It seems it punched in the
perceptually,
head, kicked in the head, and she's like,
you talk about optics there. Perceptually, that's what she did. She might have been working the whole time. She might have been doing 100 other things.
But now somebody punches
Ellen show. Let's go back to Ellen show. That's also the show where she said she thought about suicide right after losing a fight. Where then she wanted to get pregnant by Travis Brown.
To a head and
suicide, Travis Brown. Never mind.
I
will not make that joke right now. This is a very serious situation.
All of those things can take away from the branding of what she was doing when she was initially saying these comments. So now, when you say them, it sounds again like you were just...
It sounds like you're trying... Here's what it sounds like. It sounds like she's trying to get her win.
I think
it's the same thing when she texted that little message after Misha Tate won the title. Gotta get back to training.
I really like Amanda.
You're going to get a win and then you're going to run. And in this women's division now, this is a situation where we think there's a lot of contenders. You talk about it before when you talked about John Jones.
Like, well,
and he's coming back into a division
really
that could
like
be entirely different by the time he's through
Ronda
all of this. And Ronda is coming into a division that's entirely different, and a division that no longer sees her as unstoppable or unbeatable, and there's some monsters in that division. So it sounds like to me, she wants to get her title back and she wants to retire, which a lot of fans are going to have a problem with.
Well, and if you look at, make the comparison to Anderson Silva, as soon as Weidman beat him twice, the floodgates were open. Lost to Bisping, lost to Cormier, right? Like this unbeatable phenom.
Well, I don't know if we can call that floodgates. The Bisping fight, obviously. The Cormier fight, I'm not going to take anything away from Silva for that.
My point being about the floodgate comment is that once you take that mystique away and he becomes just a guy in the cage fighting you, it's a different proposition.
It's a Tiger Woods analogy we used a couple weeks back.
Yes. Once you figure out that he's just a dude, it's easier to tackle that. Once you figure out that she's just another female athlete, she's special, she's amazing, but she's not untouchable. That makes training a whole lot different because you're not training for a ghost. You're training for an actual person who does actual moves that you can actually predict.
And that's the interesting thing, too, because I don't know. Did you see this interview? I believe it was with Fox Sports with Misha Tate, where she discussed the fact that even if Amanda Nunes beats Ronda Rousey, and she said, I'm not looking past my fight at 205, but obviously I have to look at this division. Even if Amanda Nunes beats Ronda Rousey, she would prefer to take the Ronda Rousey fight first.
Of course.
Because she wants to avenge that loss.
Yeah.
Well, and Misha's not saying, I'm leaving soon. Like Misha's there to be there, so she wants to avenge that loss and then go get what she thinks is her belt back.
And she sees what I just said. The veneer has been broken. We now know what she is and what she's made of and how you can push those buttons.
Right.
And that's a problem for Ronda, which is why this fight becomes super interesting and why... Again, to what you just said 7 seconds ago, you maybe didn't need to say all that stuff because we're already interested.
Yeah.
You just need to show up and say, I'm training really hard, tell your funny Travis Brown butt squeegee story, and be on with it.
Wait, did I miss a Travis Brown butt squeegee story?
Didn't really miss it, but she told a story about how Travis Brown squeegeed a bench for her so she could sit on a dry bench because that's the kind of guy he is.
Huh. All right. I mean, the leaving his wife thing wasn't a big deal, but like the squeegee thing is... Does that outweigh things?
Maybe.
All right, okay.
Not a high-level boxer, but butt-squeegee guy.
Oh, wow. See?
Sorry.
See, I thought I was going personal, and you were mad about his boxing.
I'm just going to go tackle his training. Okay. You talked about Bellator a second ago. I want to make a couple quick announcements for tonight's fight, Bellator 163. The Paul Daly-Derek Anderson fight, that has been canceled because Paul Daly, surprise, surprise, couldn't make weight safely, so that has been pulled. On top of the Marlos Kunin Talton Nogueira fight, also been scratched because Nogueira missed weight by nearly 6 pounds.
I may have given you the wrong impression a moment ago, Eric. When I mentioned Bellator, I didn't feel the need to talk about Bellator.
I don't want to talk about it either.
I was very upset when after I watched the Ortiz Sonnen press conference, I'm like, this is going to be awesome this weekend, and it's not till January. I'm like, no. Don't bother me with these Bellator cards.
Until 5 minutes from now.
Until.
The press conference should take
exactly
minutes before they're going to walk in.
Until January. That's when I can watch Bellator. All right, guys. I'll be there.
For those of you
make more trunk steroid jokes about Tito Ortiz.
Yes. So there
did you
go.
Watch any of that?
I did, yes.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's why you hire
him. That was
him,
fun.
That's why you hire him.
That's the most fun I've seen outside of Conor McGregor in an MMA press conference in a long time. In a long, long time. And that's, like you said, that's exactly why you hire Chael Sonnen there. You know, because I love Chael Sonnen. He's like, yeah, I use lots of drugs, but everything I got was from a doctor. And which is funny because which is really funny if you know, because I mean, Tito, obviously people think Tito might have done something, but Tito's never been busted for it.
Nope.
Chow's the guy, actually, if you look at the dais, he's the dirty guy on the dais.
He is, yeah.
And he's making fun of the other dude for taking steroids, because let's admit it, the guy's got a giant ass head.
He does, in fact.
And you usually only get that from trunk steroids, according to Chael Sonnen.
According to Chael P.
So,
all right.
Saturday, hold on just a second here. Just one second. No,
right.
I just need to just do something on the show real quick.
Okay, you do your thing.
Okay, hold on just a second. Okay, Google, remind me to watch Bellator in January. There we go. All right, just did that. And I just helped all the listeners out, by the way, who might have their Google activated.
There, yeah, then everyone, yeah, if you're listening to this on your Google phone, you also have a reminder.
You now have a reminder.
This weekend, UFC Latin America, we're going to Mexico City. Rafael Dos Anjos looks to get back on track against Tony Ferguson.
Former champion.
Former champion against
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Maybe the heir apparent in Tony Ferguson from Muskegon, Michigan, on an 8-fight winning streak. This fight, I find, Ken, to be super interesting. We'll talk to Tony Ferguson in a second. But you've got RDA, and you've got a very, very wild fighter in Tony Ferguson. Your thoughts on what's going to happen?
Controlled, though. You say wild.
I mean wild in the fact that, like,
unorthodox.
Again, unorthodox, hard to train for, because
yes.
He's doing all sorts of crazy stuff and comes at you in weird ways. And if you look at the Barboza fight, early in that fight, he was losing that fight. But mm-hmm. He shakes that stuff off and unleashes a flurry of things that Barboza didn't see coming, and then that fight ends.
Yeah, I'm not usually the biggest fan of these Ultimate Fighter finale cards.
But this is a huge fight.
This is a big, big fight, and it's a big fight within that lightweight division. This is a huge fight, because RDA could be knocked, he could be right back in contention, or he could be knocked 4 or 5 pegs down, easily. And in that division, 4 or 5 pegs down, that's a tough road back. That's a tough road back. Tony Ferguson, obviously, huge fight for him. He's been waiting for that opportunity to kind of get in that upper echelon of fighters. And he has a huge opportunity after RDA took that loss in the week leading up to UFC 200.
Yeah, and he's in the top 5 right now, but I think a lot of people have been waiting for this thing, this test.
I mean, I know we know who he is, but yeah. this is the uh-huh. situation where you set him up to go, he beat RDA, the former champion, if he's able to win the fight. So, I mean, obviously a big test for him. This is going to be a fun fight to watch. This is on FS1, right?
This is on FS1, 10 o'clock Saturday night.
Okay, so I will have to check into that. I see another great perk there. I don't have to re-up that Fight Pass subscription yet.
Yep. Also in the lightweight division, Diego Sanchez co-main eventing against Marcin Held. Ricardo Lamas taking on Charles Oliveira, and those are the three that you're probably going to want to pay attention to. You've got Benny De La Roche. He's also on this. If you're a fan of him, you could see him fight this weekend. So three
plus, he's fighting apparently a Russian guy, and those guys are always crazy.
Magomedov.
Any Edovs can come out of nowhere and just wreck your stuff, and then all of a sudden they're in a title contention.
They certainly can. Your thoughts to talk about Ferguson and RDA. If Michael Johnson or Magomedov, that's the next big fight that isn't Connor and Eddie Alvarez, right?
Yes.
To go back to what we were talking about when we had figured out 185 and then it got ruined by Luke Rockhold, we're in a very similar position, as you have all 6 guys that you're interested in fighting within the next 4 weeks.
Yes.
Does Tony fight...
I think if Nurmagomedov wins, and I know Tony's wanted that fight, I think Nurmagomedov, though, is going to jump to that title shot, barring some type of Conor McGregor rematch or weird situation. The wild card here, which is different from when we laid out that division with Michael Bisping, and Michael Bisping's a star, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. Conor McGregor is otherworldly at this
sure.
point when it comes to the UFC. So that fight doesn't necessarily become some type of disqualifier, depending on whether he wins or loses. You don't know if the rematch is going to be there. You don't know if the guy's jumping back to 145.
Well, he said that he wants to stay at 55, and it looks like we will get the rescinding of 145.
We'll see.
We'll see. But it looks like right now that's what you're going to get. Now, if he loses... it's probably a different discussion.
I've got a very strong feeling that we're going to see Ferguson Nurmagomedov, because I feel like that title fight is going to leave things murky enough, regardless of who wins, that we're still going to have one more fight before we get to the title situation. If, for some reason, we're clean, Conor McGregor knocks him out, no questions asked, or vice versa.
Sure.
And maybe Conor has to go back to the division. I think Nurmagomedov is going to be the one in line for that title shot. That doesn't mean we don't get Nurmagomedov Ferguson, just probably a little bit farther down the line at some point.
And it'll be interesting to see what that draw will be as 23-0, and Nurmagomedov takes on Michael Johnson. If he gets past him, he'll be 24-0 heading into this title fight with whoever has the title. What will happen if it's Nurmagomedov as your title holder and Tony Ferguson? That'll be a really, really interesting matchup. But that is happening this weekend. RDA, Tony Ferguson. We'll talk to Tony Ferguson right now. He is on the line. Tony, how are you?
Good, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Welcome back to Grand Rapids in West Michigan. Excited to talk to you. Big fight this weekend against RDA. We'll start with your academy, because I know you are super proud of the academy, and we here in your hometown are super proud to see what you're doing out there. Talk to us a little bit about what that process was like and the effect it had on the camp, because watching you on Instagram and on Twitter, it looked like it was an amazing camp for you heading up into this fight.
You're absolutely right. It was probably the best camp I've ever had. I built it with my own hands. I left no screw unscrewed and left no seam unseen, man. And it translated directly to my training. I didn't listen to anybody. I did what I wanted to do. And I made it the way I wanted and envisioned it in my head. Brought a full cage up there. I built my own bag stand. I built a full floating mat out there with my own hands. And I built it with care because I didn't want anybody to get hurt when we were rolling on it. I did it with the charisma and the suave that I have and the original ideas that I have, and I was stoked, man. Yeah, we did a lot of longboarding out there to keep for active rest, getting ready for that snowboarding season, you know what I'm talking about? just stoked, man. I mean, I fell a couple of times too, but that made me tough as hell. It was dope, man. It was probably the best thing. I got to golf a little bit, and even though I did a little bit of active rest, I worked my ass off, and I was scaling these mountains like they were nothing, running from my house like maybe a mile and a half, and then running up this mountain, and then being like, man, that was awesome, and then looking past it, and then I'm running out of time because the sun's going down. I'm like, man, there's another mountain that I want to run. Just being spoke about like doing that, and just inspiring those around me, dude, and it was one of those things that I'll never forget, and I'm going to go back, and I'm stoked about it.
Now, Tony, obviously you and I have met a couple of times. You've been on the show 5 times. We rolled the last time you were in Grand Rapids. So I have an interesting perspective on you that I think a lot of these guys in this media car wash you're going to go through today won't have. And so my question to you is, like, the stuff that you say, I'm sure you get this question a million times, like, well, most people wouldn't do what you're doing, Tony. I don't know if it's wise to do whatever you want to do, and how does that training work out? But I'd like to switch that, because to me it feels like when we're watching you in the UFC, and we've seen you at Grand Valley and Muskegon and around town and then grow to who you are today, it feels like you're taking a leadership position in this sport. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you create a camp seemingly by yourself when everybody else, and you've said this a couple times that you don't do what everybody else does, but like when everybody else would not do what you're doing right now?
I'm old school Michigan OG, man, and I've worked with my father for a long time. He was not a contractor, but he had a different thing going on for him. He worked with Granite, so I'm tough as hell, man. And when you guys met me over there, I might have been a little bit more immature. I have a kid now. I bought a house. I'm remodeling it. If I wasn't fighting, I'd be a contractor, probably making more than I am now. And I do this for fun. I really do this for fun. And I do everything for fun, because if you're not having fun, why do it?
Well, and that's, I was telling somebody this yesterday, right before this interview, I was saying I get to talk to my buddy Tony, and it's always a pleasure to do that. And I said, what a lot of people don't understand is, like, that shit he does is not an act. Like, that is who you know, when you meet Tony, that is who Tony is. He's serious about the fight game because he enjoys the art of it, but it is absolutely a blast to him. Is that a fair assumption?
Everybody can do assumptions that they want. And we'll just go reflect back on what you were talking about, leadership. You know, I'm not the boss. The boss is the dude that's cracking the whip that's on top of the leaders, carrying them. I'm the actual leader, like the guy from 300, the one that's pulling forward all of my people right in front of me. I'm setting the standard for absolutely everybody out there, because they're looking at me to do something, and where I'm from, it's hard for me to explain. And you could probably relate, because you're from Grand Rapids. But for being from Muskegon, and from where I'm at in Oxnard, California, born over there, and what I'm doing now, dude, it's amazing. I see these people out in the streets, and they're looking at me, they're calling me king, and they're calling me champ. And they're calling me these different things, and I love it. And it's because I'm inspiring those, because I'm out there running at night when everybody's asleep. Or I'm out there training. And let me reflect back to one thing. Last night, I got there running around like 3 o'clock in the morning. Actually, it was like 3:30, 4 o'clock. I did 5 miles. I ran from my hotel all the way to the Angel of Independence. I ran back, and this dude in the lobby, he's a new worker or something like that, and he was talking to me in Spanish, And he looked at his watch, and he's like, "You're training?" And I was like, "Yeah, because my opponent's sleeping." And it's always been something I've always done, and that's the difference between me and everybody else out there. I don't do what anybody else tells me to do. I do what I want, and I do what I want to be doing.
So let's quickly talk about RDA. I think you've kind of encapsulated what this fight is about when you talked to Kevin Ioli, when you said he's worried about his belt, you're worried about him. Talk to me about what we're going to see on Saturday night in Mexico.
This dude's looking past me, and I'm looking through him straight up. This guy wants to open up his own gym. He's got problems with his ex-coach. He's worried about getting that belt back, and he's worried about not looking like a fool in front of this whole entire country. I got two countries backing me up, my friend. I got USA and I got Mexico. I got tons of friends everywhere that's looking for me to support themselves by going out there and doing my best. And win or lose, I'm going to walk away knowing that I did everything I possibly could. With RDA, he said it was a bitter pill to swallow. So, homie, you got a whole bottle of pills to swallow in this fight.
Tony Ferguson is joining us, taking on RDA in Mexico on Saturday night. You can catch it on Fox Sports 1. It's going to be an amazing fight. Lots of people are talking to you about the title fight. I've heard what you've said to all of them, so I will bypass that because I know you're tired of answering it. And I will instead ask you, you know, what would you like to see next? I know you said you want to line all these guys up and knock them all down. Do you have an idea of what you would want to see happen next when you get through RDA on Saturday night?
Well, once I get through an RD on Saturday night, I'm going to go bust up in a Corona and eat a couple tacos because I've been having the cleanest diet I've ever had in this camp.
Yeah.
And every time I pass by these street taco places, and I'm in a nice part of Mexico City. It's not what everybody thinks it is. And I would like to just go out there, explore the city, and think about what's really up next. You know, I'll be talking to my management, Paradigm Sports Management, trying to figure out what the next step is. But it's kind of hard because we're both managed by me and Connor are both managed in the same direct management. So we're going to have to do a lot of thinking. I'm going to have to do a lot of talking to my management and try to figure out exactly what I want. Because after this fight, when I finish him, they're going to have to give me what I want. And it's not about the money fights. It's about the pride fights. I remember that Pride FC back in the day?
Yep.
I think they need to bring that back in a tournament style. I think, honestly, if you saw me, Khabib, Alvarez, and Connor, and whoever else is up there next, that would be what I would really want. I would love to see that tournament style again.
I think people would sign on.
Khabib goes down, Alvarez and Connor, they go. I'll drop to 145 and I'll finish everybody there. Or I'll jump up to 170 and I'll finish everybody there as well. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I want.
Tony Ferguson joining us. He's got a lineup of interviews happening. So I will merely say, my friend, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You always are in the best of spirits and just a great dude to talk to. Cannot wait for Saturday night and to see what happens next. Enjoy Mexico City on Sunday and however long you're going to stay there. Have an awesome trip. We look forward to seeing you have your arm raised on Saturday night, UFC Mexico City.
Oh, thank you, guys.
All right, there he goes, Tony Ferguson. You can catch him this weekend, Fox Sports 1, taking on Rafael Dos Anjos. And as always, you can keep up with all of the results on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. If you're enjoying the program, this is where Ken's going to tell you about how you should review everything.
You rate it all. You rate it all great.
All of it.
It doesn't hurt you to rate it great, even if you don't like it. Takes nothing out of you to just hit the star. Hit it right now. You're closing the app anyways because the show's over. So just hit the stars on there and be good with it.
And with that, have an awesome weekend. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.